The following program, Flame On, is presented by the Nerdy Show Network, geeky programming for all nerds across the multiverse. All Nerdy Show programming is made possible by A Comic Shop, Orlando's number one comic and nerd destination, where you can see me probably crying in a corner, and with generous support from listeners like you. To learn how you can support other fine geeky programming, visit nerdyshow.com.
Welcome to Flame On. I'm Brian. I'm here with a assembled group of individuals all gathered today here to talk about all things gay and geeky, but specifically today, the movie Logan that we have all just recently, well, in my case, seen. So let's see. I have going clockwise around to my left, we have BJ.
Hey, bub.
Eric.
That's me.
Jeff.
Hi.
Jared. Nice. Oral is boycotting, I think. He didn't see the movie either by choice or by...
Really?
I think...
By hook or by crook?
Well, I don't want to say that about Oral. Come on. What? I'm not trying to cast aspersions here.
Oh.
He's been really slammed. So he has not had a chance to see it.
I bet he has.
Pat has?
But he's tish. Nice.
Pat has seen it, but unfortunately is working, hustling the side hustle right now. So
things we do for money.
Unable to join us. But we're all here, and we want to talk about Logan. It is going to be a spoilerific review. We're not trying to coyly tell you the quality of this film without actually getting into some specifics. So if you don't want to know what happens...
Don't listen to this.
Yeah, come back after you've listened. I mean,
People die.
People do die.
Laura stabs a lot of people.
I skipped the iFanboy review of this specifically because I did not want to be spoiled. So now I can actually go back and listen to it.
Logan is old in this movie.
He is an old man.
He is very...
Older?
Older. Okay. Oldish.
Older. Oldish.
So let's start with that. So this is a movie by James Mangold, who did The Wolverine previously.
Yes.
And it is meant to show sort of the third act of James Howlett, Logan, whatever, is Wolverine's sort of life. The first act being the Abysmal Origins movie that was abysmal.
And I actually got to give him props for putting little references to that movie, because up until now, people just wanted to treat it like it didn't exist.
Yeah.
It was so bad.
What references did you catch? I didn't catch any.
The Adamantium Bullet. That is straight from that movie.
Okay, got it. Yep, I had forgotten all about that. That was the first one, and then the second one was The Wolverine.
Where he goes to Japan?
Yes, which actually I really enjoy.
Yeah, that one was a lot better.
Three quarters of that movie was good.
Yes,
I would agree with that.
Was not the best, but and then the final one here is Logan, loosely, and I will say very loosely, based on Old Man Logan, the comic where you have an older gray Wolverine protecting his family in a sort of post-apocalyptic America where superheroes are largely gone.
The original selling point for the Old Man Logan comic was it's Unforgiven, starring Wolverine.
Yes. Yeah. And this movie is not that.
No.
At all.
I think a lot of us were sort of hopeful that it would bring some of those great elements of that movie to this universe and do something more interesting. Having said that, I did enjoy it overall, and I think it's just kind of an okay ending to the Wolverine movie cycle. And I will say, let's just be honest up front, it is an ending. Like, period, at the end. No post-credit scenes at all.
There is a reason why they keep saying this is his final portrayal of Logan.
Yep. Yeah.
So, I see...
Timey-wimey, wibbly-wobbly.
No. They're not doing that. Well, I mean, I don't want to say no, because, I mean, all things are possible in the universe here.
I give them props for finding that little gap or section in time where they can be like, okay, saw that crap we did in Days of the Future Past. We could still have this take place a little after that.
I mean, a lot after that. It's like 30 years later. Or no, 20 years.
It's like
25 years.
It's like maybe 15? Like 12 years from now. It's like in the mid 2029.
It's like 2027 or something like that.
I guess as I was sitting there listening or thinking about it, and I was like, oh man, that's so far in the future. And oh my God, it's so not.
It's not. No.
So that is one big departure. It's not post-apocalyptic. It's just sort of a darker, pharmaceutical, biotech controlled.
It's kind of like Looper. Remember that movie Looper?
Yeah.
It was just far enough in the future to be like, it looks kind of similar, but you can tell some shit's going wrong.
Mm-hmm. It's the plausible future as opposed to the
post-apocalyptic.
It's no
yeah, the only futuristic thing was the self-driving semis.
Oh my God, that was terrifying.
Which you know, that's...
That was horrifying. That was legitimately horrifying.
If there's a business version that would adopt that first, I'm sure it would be like mass trucking.
Oh, Uber or Amazon. Probably Amazon will have that within the next few years.
Yeah, it'll be Amazon. Yeah.
So what do we think overall? Do we like it? I think I'm hearing a little bit of column A, a little bit of maybe column B, not so much.
As somebody who was not emotionally invested in this at all coming in, I thought it was great.
Oh, well, all right. Yeah. Why? What'd you like?
I don't know. Just the pacing was good. The acting was excellent.
Who was your favorite actor in the movie?
I like Patrick Stewart.
Yeah.
Yes.
Patrick.
He was Grandpa Patrick.
I mean, old man Charles Xavier. Mm. Who would have thought that's so much the most important part of this film?
Yeah, that's a scary thought when the most powerful telepath in the world, spoilers, develops Alzheimer's. Yeah. Or something akin to it, and starts to lose his faculties.
Seizures. Yeah. Like telepathic seizures.
Well, and what does a telepathic seizure do? It seizes everybody around you, not just you.
Kills all the X-Men.
Kills all the X-Men,
not
evidently.
Not confirmed, but pretty much, yeah.
So that is one departure I'll talk about here. I personally... So, okay, in the comic Old Man Logan, Wolverine or Logan kills because he's under mind control by what?
Mysterio.
Mysterio tricks him. It basically makes all of the X-Men members look like villains that he's fought, and he murders them all.
After thinking that they murdered the X-Men. So
right.
He's in a rage moment, he just loses it. And they changed that dramatically here to make... Professor X, the guy who killed everybody, and I have kind of a problem with that because it does kind of take the redemption out of the Logan story somewhat. In Old Man Logan, because he has such like dour, or he's so shut down after that he is reluctant to pull his claws out and is just a different person trying to sort of survive. And I like that element of Old Man Logan, and this movie, it didn't have that same arc, really. It sort of redeemed Wolverine or Logan in a certain way, but in a very different way than the comic.
Yeah. In this movie, he had no problems with pulling his claws. He does it in the first 5 minutes when people try to...
It just was because he was drunk and falling apart.
He had a performance issue.
He had claw erectile dysfunction.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah. CED. He had to pull it out. Remember,
he did actually. and I kept thinking when he was having the when they were in this casino and he was like stabbing the walls. At first, I was like, oh, he's just trying to claw his way there. But I'm sitting there also thinking, no, he's actually also trying to make sure he's got the tensile strength to like start clawing people.
He's warming up too.
So
he's got his claw penis pump. I could keep this going all day for old man dick jokes.
What about you, BJ? What'd you think?
I mean, I loved it. I'm not one to have emotional reactions to anything remotely comic book movie related. I think the closest thing to Logan I had a reaction to was a little bit of Kick-Ass when I was just like, oh God, I hate your life. Like with Logan, especially because Professor X was there. Professor X and Logan essentially kind of being his caretaker, also Caliban, I was just like, this is the saddest version of Three Men and a Baby I've ever seen in my life. And like it was absolutely fantastic. The acting was phenomenal. I was just not emotionally prepared for something that was this visceral.
If you've ever had to take care of an older family member, person, or even animal.
Yep.
This movie has a lot of resonance because there is absolutely a frustration that you have with the things that you can't easily do for that person and to help that person, and the sort of obstinance and the difficulty from that person that's suffering, that's older in life. So absolutely, I mean, I've only had older dogs, so it's not the same thing at all, but I totally, totally saw that frustration. That was portrayed really well.
Yeah.
Eric, what about you?
I thought it was just okay. The only character I really emotionally connected with was Charles Xavier. The rest of it I thought was kind of meh. I don't overly care for the character of Wolverine, so that's about
it. Did you like X-23, or Laura, as they called her in the
movie? I thought she was well done. I thought the actress was really good in the role.
Good as a feral little beast child.
Yeah.
I mean, I could watch her eviscerate dudes probably for 4 hours straight. Like, I would never get bored with watching her to rip in the people, because her fight scenes were phenomenal.
Jeff, what about you?
I liked it a lot. I would say of all the different parts of the movie, I was 100% on board with everything except for one part, which I'm sure we'll talk about later.
Towards the end of the film?
Yeah, X-24.
Oh, yes.
Well,
what's the name from the comic?
Evidently,
and I had to be reminded of this, there was a sort of cybernetic clone of Wolverine at one point with a little girl named LCD, the little girl.
I don't remember this.
And the, X-24 character was like Albert or something. Like, he had a name. It wasn't X-24. It had nothing to do with X-23. And I had completely forgotten about this. And Pat and Oral, we were talking about this earlier today. And they're like, oh, yeah, that's right. And you can, if you picture it in your mind, if you think of like that Weapon X era Wolverine with like even like the helmet and sort of just crazy wires and everything. Uh-huh. And then a little girl in like a dress who's also a robot. Like, that's the era. And I remember it at sort of a superficial level, but I do not remember any of the stories whatsoever.
I liked everything except for that, but again, I understand the metaphor they were going for. The thing that it kind of clicked with me, kind of like you with you know, caring for someone who's later in life, I had that reaction when it comes to a father and a child, and especially when like seeing the daughter aspect, because I have my issues about having a daughter. I have a son, and every time a topic has come up, it's like, I don't know if I want a daughter. This movie made me want to have a daughter.
Oh boy.
Want a daughter that can eviscerate lots of soldiers.
That has that foot claw for
extra kick. I want a badass daughter.
So you had a problem with the sort of big bad of this Wolverine clone?
Yeah. I think there's a million different ways they could have gone. But again, I get what they were going for with trying to tell, like, you know, Logan has to overcome his past, basically, and this is the physical manifestation of his past. So I get that.
Yeah.
I think it was just a little too on the nose.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. Like, everything else I loved. I loved the performances. I loved all the characters. The only thing maybe I thought Thomas Pierce was a little played up and then kind of underutilized.
Did we find out who the actor was that for?
It was a Holbrook.
Boyd Holbrook.
Never heard of him before.
For as much buildup as he had being like the leader of the Reavers and everything, it was just kind of like he just basically was there to give exposition and say some shit and then...
Very Gambit by way of Cannonball, something else. I don't know. He felt familiar,
yeah,
but was sort of its own thing. Pat and I again talked about this. He was very disappointed that the Reavers did not have the man tank, the half man, half tank.
I'm just happy they had the Reavers.
Yes, the Reavers are fine. I also kind of thought it was interesting that they had a throwback with Caliban mentioning, didn't you used to help us hunt down mutants? So they didn't like explicitly go into what happened, but that does pay homage to a classic storyline in the X-Men.
Yeah.
Was it the Mutant Massacre, I think.
Yeah.
Also, by the way, Boyd Holbrook's going to be in the Predator movie.
Oh. All
yeah.
Right. Well, I might see that. What about the use of comics in this film? Because I actually thought that was a nice extra sort of meta commentary thing going.
I mean, it kind of played a big piece of it.
Yeah.
Because the whole notion for the story of Laura and her surrogate mother wanting to get to this mythical place that they had read about in the comics, and then Logan seeing it and going, this shit isn't real. You know, you're basing it on made-up stories, but then there was that nice twist about, like, enough people believe something, it becomes real.
Yeah.
That's a very Grant Morrison thing.
Yeah.
You know, or The Secret is the more popular way of looking at that.
Oh, yeah.
I love that. I mean, anytime you can sort of bring and blend in comics and real quote-unquote movies, TV, whatever, blending them, having their worlds simultaneously exist and affect each other, that is to me such a Morrison idea that I love that.
Mm-hmm.
Now I will say that when they threw in the movie Shane into the film, that's where I lost it. Having lost my father recently, that was one of his favorite films. The ending, I was bawling.
So that was a big touchstone for you. And I think you had mentioned that when we talked about that, that film. I mean, I was surprised at how emotional I was in the film. And I mean, I do care about the characters, especially Xavier, but also the father-daughter relationship. Not that I mean, Jeff and I can speak for our father here. Not that we had a bad father or we have a bad father, but certainly anyone whose father may have traveled a lot for work or been sort of distant in certain ways, it's always poignant when you have that sort of like coming to terms with your father as a person and his failures, and then the relationship not maybe being what you want it to be or whatever. Any of that also provides for
complicated father relationships.
Complicated father. That never happens in these things.
And the thing that I really liked is the fact that when they are traveling, when it kind of becomes this sort of road trip, the crazy old Charles, you know, everybody, like, people are like, oh, your dad. And he's like, yeah, he's my dad. And like, their relationship is pretty much exactly the way it looks to everybody else. And they don't have a problem with that. And it's very interesting when you have Laura come in, you know, Charles is like, that's your daughter. I think that's great. And, you know, then you've got Logan that's like, the fuck? The fuck is this? Oh, God, it's got claws. Like, you've got that sort of weird, sort of broken triangle sort of relationship going, and you've got Xavier trying to hold it together because that's what he does. He's like, I fix things, I teach kids, even though he's, you know, very, very battle-worn.
Yeah, and that's when he kind of, in the early part of the movie, where he lit up when he started to get notions of, like, this is a group of kids we gotta save. This is my wheelhouse. Oh, we can finally do something.
Yep.
Instead of just sitting in a turned-over silo.
Well, and it's redemptive for him, too, after he realizes what happened.
Sure.
So, like, and Logan was trying to protect him from that, mm-hmm. by keeping him drugged up, both to protect his memory, but also keep that from happening again.
Yeah.
I mean, I think the Logan-Xavier relationship is really touching. And my other problem with it, as much as the farmhouse scene is really cool in a lot of ways and sort of a nice touching...
Oh, God.
Eric LaSalle.
Oh my God, that's who that was. I knew he looked familiar, and I'm sitting there like, what? Where do I know him from? That resolution with the X-24 coming in and that whole thing was just so fucked up and awful, mm-hmm. and
oh, yeah.
just heartbreaking from pretty much that moment when you realize or when he stabs Xavier all the way through the end. It was just like bare knuckle, like crazy intense with a little bit of relief, a couple moments, but overall just like, oh my God. And again, you know what's going to happen. You pretty much go in. You might delude yourself into thinking, oh my God, Wolverine and the X-Men. They could actually make this a thing here. They could have old man Logan as their mentor. But no, that's the Shane thing and some other moments really tell you, nope, that's not going to happen.
It's
going to end badly.
That's where my heart was destroyed. That whole farmhouse scene, I'm going into it like, oh no, maybe, just maybe this will turn out good. And then when it turns out the way you think it turns out, but so much worse,
mm-hmm.
you're like, okay, so we're just going to concentrate on Laura surviving because this is not going to have a happy ending.
I was even surprised at the fact that they wrapped up like Stephen Merchant's character in near that scene. And yep. like they just... drop the character, the living character count from like a high level to just down to the essentials.
Oh, yeah. What was really weird, it almost seemed like they were going to do something with this.
When they grabbed his DNA from his
body?
Yeah,
that was yeah. sort of a weird beat because the rule of cinema is pretty much if you have a little moment, little fragment like that, it's going to come back later, right?
Right.
If you introduce a adamantium bullet.
It's called seeding.
Seeding. It foreshadowing. Like foreshadowing. Anyway,
apparently this was more of the red herring option.
I guess that or it was slightly. Meant to in one draft maybe had a thing.
Or like, maybe just explain how they're able to track him. Like how they find him.
Well, no,
period.
I thought that was with, what's his name, looking at the back of the comic or the back of the thing and seeing the coordinates. Like that one was
yeah.
pretty...
Yeah. yeah. Then,
so it really does feel like it was a different draft. Maybe just little bits left in where maybe they had like Caliban. They're not very similar at all. Caliban getting... See, I thought they were going to mutate him and make him like a monster Caliban like they did in the comics. Like, I thought
like
that
Apocalypse.
Was, yeah.
Souped
yeah.
him up, made him all, you know, steroid-ridden Caliban.
Yeah, like I felt like, oh, that's what they're... Now, I will say Stephen Merchant, hilarious. I mean, always great.
Yeah.
This was not a comedic role, but there were little bits here and there that you saw yeah. coming through, and that was really important.
Yeah.
Because I think Doug Jones had played him in... Apocalypse.
Yeah.
No, it was Doug Jones. No, it was some French guy.
I thought Doug Jones. I don't know why I thought him. He was involved. I mean, he's a tall albino guy, but you know.
Yeah. It was some young kid.
Okay. But yeah, so they've had a previous rendition of him in the past.
Which I guess apparently, if you've heard like the studio talk, that was entirely by accident. That was basically Bryan Singer's team not communicating with Mangold's team, and they both used the character and didn't realize.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
Nice.
So I wonder how Singer sees what they've done here and if he chooses at all to do anything about it or just let it be or like how that coexists. Because in some ways, you know, we're not going to talk about Legion in this episode. However, it's going to be discussed in great length in the next future cast recording. But like the Legion kind of revitalized the X-Men sort of, not movie because it's a TV show, but sort of shared universe. So if you were trying to put a capstone on everything, this would be a lovely, like the Logan movie would be a nice way to stop, but they're not going to.
No.
So, sure. Well, yeah. And also, what's the other show they're going to do? The Gifted?
Yeah, which is kind of a New Mutants thing.
It's like a side story.
I think Polaris is the main character.
Polaris
of that?
Is in there. Yeah,
Polaris. They got the lead guy from the Originals TV show to be in it because that show's probably getting canceled.
Oh, yeah.
Probably.
It is interesting because like you really feel like it could be a good stop. We're done.
But maybe that's it. Maybe they're kind of like they're going to try and focus more on the TV shows to like expand the universe because they've had now two R-rated mutant movies that did great move. They did bank. Yeah. So that
well,
in
that
some
means
ways
they're not going to stop. I mean,
yeah. Right. Well, that means they might make the fork, basically like make the general focus more TV, and then the like because they're gonna do the X-Force movie they talk about a lot.
Oh, and another Deadpool. I guess
they might pursue
yeah.
the R-rated in the movies, mm-hmm. and then just kind of the TV
and supposedly show. They are doing one more or another like actual X-Men movie.
Yeah, yeah. Because what's her name who plays Sansa has talked about that.
Yeah,
that's right.
It's a like Galaxy or something like something space name.
Oh, Supernova. I think it's Supernova.
Supernova, yeah, that's right.
Interesting. So that'd be cool if they did a Shi'ar thing. Did you guys, I'm sure you all saw the Deadpool short at the beginning of the...
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Which I saw the edited version by the time we saw Logan.
Without the ass?
Without the fuck you Stan Lee.
Oh. Yeah, where was fuck you Stan Lee?
If you watch the original web or like when it first premiered in theaters, they actually had a whole like sequence where he...
Well, because when he comes out of the telephone booth, Stan Lee's standing there, and he's like, cool suit. And Deadpool goes, fuck you, Stan Lee.
Yeah.
And then walks over. Oh.
But I guess either people complained or something happened, they took it out.
Wow, I need to go back and find that then. That's awesome.
It's pretty great.
See, originally I thought Stan Lee was the old man who was being mugged. Which, yeah.
Well, either way, it's kind of hilarious. But they actually had Stan Lee there, and that was a cameo. Oh, aww. Man, that's sad. So, that was great. I'm very excited about more Deadpool, and seeing Ryan Reynolds' ass for a little bit wasn't terrible either. So.
It's not the worst.
No, it's not the worst. So what else about this film? The score was great. It wasn't Mansell. It was Mark Bertrani, I think. Marco Bertrani, who's done a lot of stuff. Or maybe saying his name wrong. But there were several moments that I really thought it stood out in a good way. And then a lot was just sort of good background stuff. But I'm excited for that to come out.
I actually really liked all of the, the new X-Men, I don't know, because they had Richter. Yes,
they had Richter.
That was Laura.
They didn't really, was there any major names besides those two?
Those were the only two.
Those were
I
the
caught.
Only two.
They had Girl with Ice Breath.
Yeah.
Yeah, random girl with ice breath.
Plant person.
Yep.
What else?
That's
about it.
Oh, the black kid with the...
Electricity?
Electricity, yeah.
So they had Static Shock. Or Black Lightning, if you want to call him that, which, hey, that's a new CW show.
That is going to be a new CW show.
Ooh, Black Lightning is quite a beefy rendition.
Yeah, I would nice. Not. I'm not upset about Black Lightning whatsoever. Well, that's another episode.
That's totally the other thing. So, I don't know. What else is there really to talk about this film? I mean, it was very brutal. I will definitely say it deserved the R. I don't know. Pat was also saying he didn't think it really needed to be that brutal. And I'm like, well, I don't disagree. I don't think you have to have Wolverine chopping heads off.
Logan decided to finally start stabbing people in the head.
Yes.
This entire time he's like, chest, shoulders. Hey, wait, if I stab you in the head, you die.
Stop.
I mean, and then Laura with her little head roll at the beginning kind of thing.
That was nice.
That was a nice buildup.
Was there a, did you guys get a little whiff of sort of anti-Trump with having the whole thing near the border fence or border or whatever? Like, did you have any sense of anything with that?
Very, very slight.
It was probably written well before the election happened and all that, so I don't think it was a direct reaction, but I did feel like it was...
Everything is going to have that taint to it now.
Is it spreading the taint?
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Trump's taint is all over the
spread all over the internet, all over the TV. And,
I mean, it wasn't it wasn't a direct thing, but I just made me squirm a little bit. I did also like setting it in that area because of sort of the inherent sort of subclass citizen sort of, you know, immigrants. That whole thing was very it spoke to that X-Men situation.
Very favorable for Canada. Like, hey, the United States hates you and everything. Oh, yeah. Just get to Canada. You're good.
Yeah.
They can't touch you in Canada.
It's very Sound of Music.
Mm.
Aww.
When I realized Richard E. Grant was in the film, I got a little excited because I love him to death.
I wish they would have done some kind of reference because they planted the seeds in the extra scene in Apocalypse for Sinister.
Yeah. I wish he would have been a baller Sinister.
I wish there would have been some kind of reference to Essex in that company.
Yeah. Well, it's stupid, too, because instead they went with he's related to a character from Weapon X program, and I was like, that's stupid.
Yeah.
Like, he should... If there is no, if
but the whole genetically creating mutants, that's sinister.
Totally sinister. Yeah.
Yeah,
that makes me wonder if another draft actually intended that.
Well, anyway. that was like part of the plot of that was like kind of this one of the big central plots of Ultimate X-Men was the fact that
mutants were created. They weren't initially created. Yeah,
right.
And then people, and then you know, and then genetics. You know that mutant has a kid with this human and.
We're off to the races.
I don't know genetics. Could you explain that to me, please? I'm really confused.
Something.
There's a square.
Eugenics.
There's a square involved.
Something.
Yes. Something's something.
Plant cross. I don't know.
Yeah, no, I don't know.
Eugenics is more of like, oh, you're poor because you were born poor.
Oh, there you go. So yep. Eugenics. Yeah. That's like you.
Dianetics.
Dianetics.
That's
all the edicts.
That's with aliens and volcanoes.
So many edicts.
So. Closing thoughts. There's nothing next up except or what we've talked about coming out maybe in the next year or two. Nothing like imminent.
Deadpool 2, which Cable casting is, I guess, the running. Because it's been a big enough deal to have the original director leave.
Yeah.
And the original composer leave.
Who? They didn't confirm it, though, did they?
No, but they still haven't decided who it is.
And who was the one that was getting a lot of traction?
The guy from Friday Night Lights and that Bloodline show.
Yeah. That's Matthew Chandler. But he wasn't the one that... There was another one that people were putting out there who was...
There's been artist renderings of...
Kevin Nash was at one point trying to vie for it.
Brad Pitt was one of the ones that came out.
No!
For the artistic rendering, see, this is what he'd look like. Or Russell Crowe. I saw a Russell Crowe one.
I could see Crowe. He melds into any role he does. I could totally see that. Now, there was
Ron Perlman's a little too old.
Yeah, I don't like him for that. I don't know.
Hellboy 3 is definitely not happening.
Yeah, he's got time.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that's very exciting. Is that this year?
No.
Okay.
Probably next year.
Yeah. Okay.
But yeah, that's kind of that in Supernova. For the X universe,
whenever that starts up,
I don't even know if they offered Bryan Singer a ton of money to do that. I don't know.
I think he actually should step back and just do a producer thing because when they had Matthew Vaughn come in, I think it brought a breath of fresh air into the film.
First Class was definitely not a perfect film.
No, not at all. But it was something new and interesting, and that was because you brought in somebody else.
Now here's a question: would we ever want them to recast Wolverine? Like, do we even need him anymore?
No, it's not a matter of if they will, it's when.
Yeah.
We're in an era where these characters are not going to just disappear unless comic book movies completely start making $0, and that's not happening. So
even Hugh Jackman said that in an interview when they're like Patrick Stewart said, oh, well, what do you think if they recast? And he's like, oh, they will.
Yeah.
It's just a matter of when.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, it's how soon, really. I'm hopeful that they just like reboot the whole damn thing, and that's a good clear slate. You could do whatever you want, but maybe they can bring Wolverine down in stature because he's not that tall. That's been the only problem with Hugh Jackman. As much as I love him to death, he's not.
Tom Hardy seems like the best fit, just because he's so grizzled.
He's too old though now. I think he's too old.
Nah.
And I think you just keep it old man Logan and keep it similar to the comic books at least in appearance.
Did you watch Taboo?
I try to. FX app doesn't, for some reason, play the first episode.
That
I
did. Show's beautifully dark and amazingly.
I want to watch it.
Lots of naked Tom Hardy.
So much naked Tom Hardy. I agree with this show.
Kind of enticing. All right. Well, I think that's our thoughts on Logan. So if you like what you've heard, if you want us to review anything specifically coming up, you guys know how to get a hold of us. We're on Facebook, Tumblr, Twitter, and I think Instagram, too, or something. But we have all of our social media links at our website, flameonshow.com. If you really like what we're doing, and we really appreciate every time, mostly Ron, but other people too, give us a little bit of extra money or
money.
Join the Patreon for Nerdy Show and give us some sweet maintenance funds.
No, Brian, you're supposed to say we're just getting tons and tons of funds from so many listeners.
I could tell you that.
We're rolling in money.
They get all of our exclusive content.
That's true. All that exclusive content. No, actually, if anyone has any things they'd like to see us do, I've actually been thinking, like, what could you do that you would be interested for exclusive Patreon content? If you have any ideas, again, let us know.
We'll be your whores. We will be your whores.
Calendars.
Pay for us. Stuff the digital dollars down our G-string, I think, was one of the previous past lines we used. Anyway.
Can we get Jared to do our favorable drawings of all of us to have...
We did that a few years ago, actually. We've done that.
I can do that.
Yeah. If we're going to be us in G-strings, I'd rather have an artistic rendering.
Oh, yeah, of course. I mean, maybe even our 40 gay our characters from that show. Oh, wait, we need to still roll those characters.
Yeah.
Anyway, flameonshow.com. You can find all our stuff. Bios. Now BJ's up there.
Yeah.
With the rest of us.
Not hidden away.
Please let us know what you think, and we'll be back next 2 weeks from now with more content. I believe some exciting stuff for RuPaul coming up. So
we're going to talk about Legion soon, too.
And then it'll be that.
That's got to be a mini
full cast. Oh, yeah, we may even do a mini because there's a lot to talk about.
And next week I'm going back up to FrolicCon, so we'll try to get
interviews.
It's
already that time of year? Yep. Holy shit.
It's that time of year.
All right, so we're going to send you with some Facebook Live ammunition here.
I didn't even think about that.
I don't know if they'll let you do that, but if you can get people to say, yeah, sure, I don't mind being on Facebook video.
I won't be able to do live in the middle of the con space.
Okay, we'll have to figure something out.
I'll have to get interviews. I think I can get interviews.
Okay, like special reporting, that is a must, because I think a lot of people were really interested in FrolicCon last year. I mean, I know I was fascinated by the whip lane. Of all things, at least. The rules of the whip lane.
I think I can get a picture of that before they open the dungeon.
Okay. All right. Yeah. All right, cool. Well, that'll be on our Facebook page. So if you're not already liking that page, go do that now and you'll see all our stuff. So on that note, see you next time.
Thanks for listening to Flame On, presented by Nerdy Show. If you like what you heard, please rate and review us on iTunes, like and follow us on SoundCloud and Audioboom, or subscribe and stream on Google Play. Flame On was created by Brian Pittard and is engineered by Pat O'Rourke. As listener-supported entertainment, we rely on you to keep this and other shows on the Nerdy Show Network alive by telling a friend or funding the network via Patreon. Any size contribution gets you exclusive outtakes, episodes, and images from across the network, and there's even more perks available. Just head to patreon.com/nerdyshow. To find out how you or your company can underwrite this or other Nerdy Show programming, visit nerdyshow.com/sponsorships. For more podcasts, articles, community forums, and other awesomeness, visit nerdyshow.com. And be sure to follow Nerdy Show and Flame on all your favorite social networks. You can follow us at Flame On Podcast on Twitter or Flame On Show on Facebook and Tumblr. Or you might even see some of us on your favorite gay hookup apps. Just keep an eye out. If it's gay and geeky, we've got you covered.